This is Think Clearly, Decide Well, written by Edmund Wakefield, read for you by Teresa Brennan. Introduction. Most decision-making books teach you to admire cognitive biases. They list the biases, name them in alphabetical order, give them little Latin-flavored mnemonics, and somewhere around chapter 4, you start to feel a strange affection for the human mind's flaws, the way you'd feel about a charming cousin who lies about his taxes. I'll teach you to work around them instead. That is the whole project. Admiration is a poor substitute for results. I spent 12 years as an intelligence analyst, which is a profession that consists almost entirely of making decisions on bad information under time pressure, while someone senior to you waits for an answer. After that, I spent another 15 advising CEOs, founders, agency directors, and the occasional foreign minister. The companies were sometimes large enough to have their own air traffic and sometimes small enough to fit around a folding table. The advice was always the same in shape. They had a decision to make. The information was incomplete. The downside of being wrong was painful. The downside of waiting was also painful. And the person across the desk wanted to know what to do. What I noticed fairly quickly is that smart people fail at decisions in remarkably consistent ways. They don't fail because they're dumb. They fail because they're using the wrong gear at the wrong moment, or because they're mistaking a reversible decision for an irreversible one, or because they're soothing themselves with the appearance of analysis rather than doing it. They fail because they were never taught the small set of moves that actually distinguishes a competent decision maker from one who just sounds competent. This book is that small set of moves. It's not a survey of cognitive science. There are good surveys, and you should read one if you haven't, but you do not need a doctorate in behavioral economics to make better decisions on Tuesday afternoon. What you need is a working kit, a few diagnostics for what kind of decision you're facing, a few exercises that pull you out of your own head, a few habits that compound over time, and the discipline to use them when you'd rather just go with your gut and check your phone. I worked with a defense contractor CEO once who was about to bet roughly a quarter of his company's annual revenue on a single foreign contract. The contract had been on his calendar for 6 weeks. He had a deck. He had spreadsheets. He had the enthusiastic backing of two vice presidents. What he did not have was anyone in the room who had ever lost money on a similar deal, and he had not asked himself in writing what failure would look like. We sat in his office for an hour and a half. He didn't cancel the deal. He didn't even change its size. What he changed was the structure of the payment terms and the clause that governed early termination. 2 years later, that single clause saved the company. He didn't need a new mental model. He needed someone to make him slow down for 90 minutes. That story is not unusual. It's the median story. The thing that separates good decision makers from bad ones is rarely raw intelligence and almost never access to better data. It's the quality of the small habits surrounding the moment of decision. The pause before. The structure during. The accounting after. I should tell you what this book is not. It is not a memoir of intelligence work, which would be tedious and partly classified. It is not a study of famous decisions, which other authors have done well. It is not a defense of any one framework. I am suspicious of frameworks that promise to organize all decisions because I have watched too many people use them as elaborate ways to avoid the actual question. What you'll find here are tools that are narrow enough to be useful and varied enough to cover the situations you actually face. Hiring someone, firing someone, pricing a product, choosing a strategy, accepting an offer, walking away from one, telling a partner the truth. Deciding what to do when you've already decided wrong. A note on the voice. I'm direct and occasionally dry, and I don't believe in pretending the world is simpler than it is. I also don't believe in pretending it's more mysterious than it is. There's a wide middle ground where most real decisions live, and that middle ground is where the work happens. If you want inspirational stories about admirals making split-second judgments under fire, there are other shelves for that. If you want to make slightly better choices, more often, with less self-deception, you're in the right place. Each chapter ends with one practical exercise. I'd encourage you to do them in order, but the chapters can be read out.